was given me the day I was born. Want to know about the stories of the empire of old? My eyes say more of me than what you dare to say. All I know of you is all the signs of war. A film by Coppola, the helicopters roar. One day I'll touch your soul. One day I'll finally know your soul. One day I'll come to you to say hello.
Good evening and welcome to Vet Talk on News Talk K57. My name is Sean Watson. I am your host today. Welcome to the show. Sitting to my right today, I don't have Johnny over here. Wow.
No, he's in the producer booth. Karina
Valesta. Tom Devlin. I'm one of the members of the military
for only one. Right. Are there microphones on?
I think.
They are now. And we have Johnny sitting in there on the engineering booth with Jordan today. How you doing, Johnny?
Good as good. Looking at you guys, you look really spectacular.
Thank you.
Good
very
show
much,
tonight.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's the nicest thing you've said to me in a year.
All right, just so everybody knows, Karina is sitting to my right. She's from GY671, and yes. Tom Devlin is to my left, Military Order of the Purple Heart.
Yes.
Did you guys have a good week?
Yes, well, not really.
Oh, boy. Okay, Karina, did you have a good week this week?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. Yeah. Look at Tom's over there. Tom, come on. He's giving us a second chance.
Number one, the elevator legislative building is broken.
Yeah?
It's for handicapped people. I'm handicapped. I have to walk up the stairs, so you're going to imagine looking at my face how I feel.
Well, you don't have to walk very far to complain then, do you?
Why complain? No one listens. You know? And the printer.
What's
to make
the
all
printer?
The copies for you guys?
Right.
That's broken. They're waiting for parts.
Waiting for parts.
Who's running this show? That's all I have to say.
And where is this at?
In the Guam Legislature.
Oh, in a, wow. You know where the all the senators sat?
The mm-hmm. People's House.
The People's House.
Some of the people are not happy.
What do you expect? They can't catch dogs.
Oh, come on. We're not talking about dogs tonight.
No. All right. I'm just throwing a comparison.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get the show started. Let's go ahead and start with the announcements. This weekend is 4th of July weekend.
It is?
Yes.
But before we get to 4th of July, the American Legion will be having their monthly meeting at 11 o'clock in the upstairs meeting room at the American Legion. Then on July 4th, there's a lot happening on July 4th. The American Legion's going to be having food at their place. Both VFWs on Guam have teamed up to put on a little festival, not festival, but a little barbecue and everything going on down in Epal Beach. Mm-hmm. They're going to open up the place about 9:15. Tim Ono is parachuting in at 11:15. That'd be followed by the, and he's going to be coming in with the American flag as well. Be followed by the national anthem and the Guam hymn. And food will start at 11:30, right after it's been blessed.
Okay.
Sounds like a lot.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of food that's going to be there. So if you don't have anything planned on July 4th, come on down to Epal Beach. We are looking, if anybody has extra temperature guns mm-hmm. that we could borrow for that one day, give us a call and let us know. We greatly appreciate it.
And what number should they call?
That's a good question. Brian, if you're listening, won't you give us a call and see who that point of contact's going to be? Karina, you got any announcements?
Yes. Karina Balesta from GY671, a nonprofit organization. So we still have the Silkies March. That's on July 21st. And I have a pair of Silkies. We're broadcast, right, guys?
Oh, yeah. We got you.
So you could see Silkies. I don't know. I don't know whose view there you could see.
Oh, they see everybody.
Silkies. Okay. And then here's another pair.
Only if they're watching, though. If they're listening to us on the radio, they're going to go, "Why is she holding up?"
Well, that's why she needs to broadcast.
If anybody's seen the Army green PT shorts, that's exactly what that looks like.
Yep.
And she also had another pair of shorts with the
Stars and Stripes.
The Stars and Stripes on it.
Yep. So that'll be July 21st. We're starting at 7:30. We're making 7 stops. And then we're ending up a sale. We're going to have food trucks, games, giveaways. And we have an Eventbrite link set up right now. And I'll post it on the Facebook page. Also, you can just go on Eventbrite, search events on Guam, and you'll see it show up. Mm-hmm. It's free. However, we have 5 tickets that we donated. So if you want to call in, give us your number. We can give those tickets to you. And then what else is happening? That's what we have. And it's sponsored. We're working with Irreverent Warrior, which also does these hikes in every state.
Yeah, and also with the Freedom Grinders as well.
Yes, Freedom Grinders and... Is that one other person?
No, that's what you have listed on this piece here. Piece of paper.
So you got the press release?
Piece of pager. Yes. Piece of paper, piece
Irreverent
of page,
Warriors
whatever this is.
And Freedom Grinders.
Yes. Yeah. I guess you guys have this on your... Oh, here you go. The Eventbrite is silkieshikeguam1.eventbrite.com. Mm-hmm. Check that out. I can actually read today.
It's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
Glasses are really something.
Yeah, they're right here.
They work.
Hey, Tom, what do you have?
I have something that would probably interest Navy Corpsmen and U.S. Marines.
Okay.
There's a book out. It's The Echoes of War. Vietnam Veterans Reflect 50 Years Later. It's by Robert L. Fisher. It's a group of veterans, approximately 10 Marine veterans from the Vietnam War and a Navy Corpsman. And they have lunch at a restaurant in Denver, Colorado. And they discuss what their experiences were in Vietnam and their experiences in, you know, their units. So I think the Marines and the Navy Corpsmen, you know, if they want to get the book, you know, would probably, you know, find it interesting. As to 50 years later, what they remember, what they recall, and sometimes it's as if the war is still there in their minds.
Well, yeah, sometimes. I mean, we've all been into war.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that we don't talk about anymore, but we haven't forgotten them.
No. I mean, one of the stories that when we went back to Vietnam numerous times, we were in Saigon Bar.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Saigon Bar with Rick Cruz, who was an E-9 in the Marines, and the late Jack Shimizu, who was an E-9 in the Navy. They were two career multi-personnel. I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I just served my time. And we were discussing what happened to us and, you know, the war stories. And one of the things you get out of it is, here we are, so many years later, sitting in a restaurant in Saigon, and so many of our friends didn't make it. Mm-hmm. And here we are, two career service people, and one just served his time in Vietnam. And we were recalling everything that happened. We even knew the names of the people that, you know, we knew.
Right.
Lost. And it was an amazing thing to see. And sometimes I wish they had a recording of what we actually said.
That would have been nice.
It would have been nice. But, you know, a lot of it was personal, you know. But going back there... It was an eye-opener for a lot of people.
Well,
and it's not for everybody. To go back to Vietnam, if you served in Vietnam, is not a thing for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It can be emotional both ways, yeah.
Would you do it again?
I've done it numerous times. I don't have a problem with it. The first trip, I was apprehensive. I think everybody was.
Mm-hmm.
But I would do it. The war is over. For me, the war is over. To some people, it'll never be over. What I took from it is that... the South Vietnamese, this is how I feel. The way we left the country, I always felt we abandoned them.
Mm-hmm.
And here, when you go back again, there was a woman, we were in a restaurant in Da Nang, and she comes up, perfect English. She says, "Vietnam, no joy. Vietnam, no joy."
Mm-hmm.
And I turned to her, and everybody's there, and you know, the trip, and that we can't do any more.
Mm-hmm.
We did the best we could when we were here. We're coming back to support you with tourism. That's all we can do.
Let me ask you a question, because you said that you felt like we abandoned the Vietnam people there.
Yeah.
With the pullout that's going on in Afghanistan right now, and, you know, and the people that have been helping the United States over there are now being hunted down and shot.
Right.
You think we've learned anything in the last 50 years?
No, we don't learn anything. We fight these wars, and we're constantly fighting wars. For a country that likes peace, we get involved in every war that's around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't learn lessons. The idea is, if you're going to go in there, why are you going to go in there?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to, you know, do with the country? You can't change countries. And Afghanistan is a feudal operation. It's village-driven. It's not central government. They have a central government, but we impose our type of central government on rural areas.
Right.
And it, generally speaking, doesn't work. And we just don't learn the lessons. We never learn the lessons. That's just me.
I just thought I'd ask you about that.
Okay.
All right, Johnny, do you have any announcements?
No, but reflecting on what Tom was mentioning about the corpsmen, you know, you had mortarmen, riflemen, you had lieutenants, you had everybody. Everybody's got their own stories to talk about. I was a Navy corpsman with the Field Med Division over there in the jungle. And Tom's gone back maybe 2 or 3 times. I don't want to go back.
No desire to go back, huh?
Mm-hmm. Nope. Yeah. But I have one thing. Tony Paris, I can't believe how time's going by. We're in the half a year of the new year, and the family's up there recognizing the fact that Tony passed away a year ago, and he was Army, member of the Purple Heart, and was a really nice guy and everything. So to the family of Tony, we're remembering you in our hearts here.
Yeah, definitely. All right, since I missed this at the beginning of the show, I'll go ahead and say it now. If you want to call in and be a part of our show, our phone number is 477-5757. We are broadcasting on 570 AM, 96.5 FM. We're up on video with Facebook. That's video and audio, as well as K57.com and PNCGuam.com. And we do have a phone call. Hey, Joe, welcome to Vet Talk. How are you doing tonight?
I'm at the grocery, but I'm outside in my car. I wanted to call you guys and inform you that I made contact with this gentleman on 1800 numbers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and because of my request for the veteran hospital.
Yes.
And it took my, it's not a complaint, I told him it's not a complaint, I told him it's a request.
Mm-hmm.
That we need a veterans hospital here. Yeah. I even went further to explain to him that we've been left behind since 1941, and it's already 2021.
Right.
And if they go by the numbers, according to the VA office, the number is not high enough to build a veterans hospital.
Right. That's why it's very important for everybody to go out there and do the vet registry at the Guam Veterans Affairs Office so we can get an accurate number.
Is this Tom or?
This is Sean.
Sean, I did mention that, but the thing is, we are not only veterans of yesterday. There is veterans for tomorrow and next month. But the veterans of yesterday are dying.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot base the numbers because we increase or decrease. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And well, that's what I informed the gentleman on the other line on 1800. And I put out.
Well, what was his response?
Huh?
The guy that you called, what was his response?
Okay, he said he's going to put it in probably black and white. He's going to send it over to the higher echelon or whoever is the higher that takes care for the veteran.
Right, so the check's in the mail. Got it.
I stated to him that this is not a complaint. It's a request that we cannot, you know, man, we finished our service. And I'm still the property of Uncle Sam because I'm receiving pension from the VA.
Mm-hmm.
And I place myself as as a property of the federal government, because I received pension from the federal. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay. It's not because not only on my active duty that I'm Uncle Sam's son of property. I'm still a federal property. As far as I'm concerned, I'm still a federal property. And I'm all, and I have, and all veterans have the total rights to be given every right that anybody that's a veteran back in the States. I told this gentleman that 1941, the veterans initiated up to now. If you want number, go to Puerto Rico, get those veterans in Puerto Rico, go to Los Marianas, get a numbers of veterans. If it's still not enough, go up to Memorial Park and count those veterans. Go down to PV Veterans Cemetery and count those veterans. And go to Agana, the cemetery, and count those veterans. If you're still not satisfied by the numbers, go to Hawaii, go to California,
yeah, well,
and
see,
go to Washington.
The big thing, and Tom and I have actually talked about Veterans Hospital Clinic here on Guam. I don't know how many times we've talked about that. A lot of times. I gave you the opportunity to speak. It's my turn.
Okay.
Thank you. We've talked about this several times. What the VA does not realize is it's not just the veterans on Guam that would be utilizing this facility. It's also the Northern Marianas, the rest of the Marianas Islands, who have tremendous amounts of veterans in their areas, and right now they're having to ship everybody to Hawaii for their referrals. If they had a bigger place here, they could be sending them here instead of to Hawaii if they were stopped properly, staff it the way it's supposed to be, you know. A full hospital, I don't know if we really need one of those here on Guam right now. A bigger clinic, full clinic, not just a community outpatient clinic, but a full clinic that has its own pharmacy and more specialized doctors for the veterans that are here in the area. But a hospital, until we can actually get a good number of how many veterans are actually on Guam, we're not going to get a hospital here. And once we get the bigger clinic and we start servicing the other veterans that are in the immediate area, and they realize how a bigger clinic would be utilized and the amount of money that they would end up saving, until they see a bottom line figure, they're not going to do anything for us here on Guam. I'm sorry. Tom?
Yeah.
Your thoughts, Tom?
I don't even know what to say anymore.
Ask me.
Come on, Tom, you went through all everything.
Johnny wants to comment on this as well.
It'll never happen. A vet hospital will never happen. With the telemetry, with the technology they've got nowadays, I can talk to my doctor in Boston, Massachusetts, and we relayed over the air. In the old days of the stethoscope on his chest, I listen to this. That's what the old boys believe in, but that's long gone. They do surgery through telemetry now.
Yeah. They've been working on that for...
But there'll never be a hospital for the vets here.
No,
I'm sorry.
I do think that a bigger clinic that is a full-blown clinic... No inpatient type rooms, but the ability to do that on a very, very short term before they can be transferred to an actual hospital. That's what I mean. We're not going to go from a CBOC to a full fledged hospital. That's just never going to happen because they don't have the numbers to support that, and they can't see throwing $50 million into a full-blown hospital, and I'm just pulling a number out of the sky. Please don't beat me up on this, guys. I'm just pulling numbers out of the sky. But they're not going to do that because they don't see the numbers on anything else. Tom, go ahead.
politically, we don't have a United States senator helping
right.
us out.
Yeah.
And until that changes, and I don't know if it's ever going to change, senators,
yeah.
whether you agree with them, disagree, they have the clout.
Right.
Yeah, there's only 100 yeah. senators that represent the states.
Correct.
We don't have a yeah. United States senator helping the people of Guam out yeah. for various issues.
All right, Joe. Final word, then I got to let you go.
Thank you. I just decided to just give you guys, but the feedback expansion, yeah, I think I'll be satisfied with that idea.
Well, I didn't say a CBOC expansion.
That's what we need.
Yeah, I didn't say a CBOC expansion. I want a full-blown clinic, and you can't right. do a full-blown yeah. clinic where that CBOC is sitting right now. I'm
not
telling you
enough.
That right now, because you can't even build a second floor on that thing.
I know, but that's satisfactory on my side.
Okay.
Personally, yeah.
Hey, Joe, you have a great 4th of July weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, okay. You too, guys.
All
right. Take care.
Bye.
Well, I agree with the pharmacy, because, you know, ours comes from, you get
it in the mail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It comes from Hawaii, and it takes, 7 to 10 days?
Right.
And then during COVID, the whole, backup of the mail, I was, having to argue. They're like, oh, we see it coming. I was like, well, yeah, so do I. And I was tracking on e-benefits, but it never showed up. I said, well, then you need to give me, we call it short fill.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But let's say you go get seen. And you need a new medication.
Mm-hmm.
You got to wait 2 weeks to get that medication started? No, that's why we need a pharmacy here.
Yes.
So you can get that medicine now. Mm-hmm. Though there is a MOU in place between VA and the Navy Hospital. But then again, now if you don't have an ID card to get on the base, mm-hmm. Now you have to make an appointment to go get your initial meds.
Well, I did have an incident with my medicine. So, during this whole, you have to call to get a refill or, go online and, order your refills. So I did, but it was during the, mail was backed up. So then they're like, okay, well, we're going to fax this written prescription to Superdrug. And I was like, okay, fine, fax. So then she called me at 10 a.m., and she said it should be ready by 12. And I was like, okay, fine. I went there at 12. And then when I got there, there's nothing here for you. And I was like, well, she called me 2 hours ago. Where is it? When I finally got a hold of CBOC, they never answered their phone.
Mm-hmm.
They said, oh, we've been trying to fax for the past 2 hours. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
For the past 2 hours? No one's
going to
call me.
Why are we still using faxes?
I know. No one was going to call me and say, oh, hey, don't waste your time. So then I was so mad. They're like, oh, well, can you come up and pick it up? And I'm like, come where and pick what up? And they're like, can you come to a Yanya?
The system's broke.
So I drove to a Yanya.
The system's broke. All right, but I want to talk about what Johnny said.
Mm-hmm.
This telemedicine, now that we're finally starting to come out of the pandemic, and I'm actually talking in the States more so than I am here, VA is actually looking at and talking with veterans to see if they want to stay on the telehealth instead of coming into an actual clinic. I don't know what the percentage was, but they're getting more people saying, yeah, I'll stay with the telehealth, more so than going, no, I want to see my doctor.
You know, gentlemen, madam, mm-hmm. I just had an incident where I needed an urgent prescription.
Mm-hmm.
And I called CBOC. I went up there, and I met the nurse. I related the situation. She says, the doctor's writing it out now. You can pick it up at Kmart. And now, we've come a long, long way, and we've got a long way to go. So what we got is what we got to work with. If you'd have seen it 20, 30 years ago, you guys weren't even born yet, except Tom. He was the Lord and Master.
20, 30 years. Yeah, I think I was.
But you weren't on Guam.
No, but I was.
That's the difference.
30 years ago, I was in the Philippines.
Well, that was even worse, probably. So what we get, don't bite the hand that feeds, because it's coming slowly but surely. How much money do we generate, Tom, every year?
Over 55 mil.
That's 55 mil.
Wait, but can I explain to the people that, okay, I know veterans are listening, but I don't think at the budget hearing the senators knew what that actually meant, what that statement.
That's their fault, because this is 14 years after the budget's been going. Who turned that up? I didn't touch it, brother man.
Yelling in his ear.
They, I will say, the senators know more than you think they know. Sometimes they play like they don't know.
So, because sometimes... Where does the money come from?
No, sometimes if they said, well, we don't know this, that's why we didn't give you the budget that you feel you need.
Right.
Now, if a senator says, oh, yes, I know you've been, you know, the budget's been bad for the last 10 years. Yeah, I know about the cemetery, the leaning crypts, and so on and so forth. Yeah, well, we still only gave you that budget.
That's why they're called politicians.
That's right. That's why they're called politicians.
Oh, they only care about veterans during election time.
Hey, they gave the LGBTQTFGY, whatever you call them, a whole month to commemorate their days. What did they give the vets? One day for Memorial Day and one day for Vet Day. That's 2 days out of the year. BFD.
I know how he feels.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when was the last time we saw the current sitting governor and lieutenant governor going to a Veterans Commission meeting?
Well, never since I've been on Guam.
Never.
John?
Never.
That's what I'm, and just to go there and say hello. You don't have to give a speech, but just to say hi. Mm-hmm. Thank you for serving. You know, I appreciate you serving on a commission. Mm-hmm. And giving me the information and the dialogue. What? That's all. We don't get that. Why? I just don't know.
Until there's an actual dialogue between the sitting governor, lieutenant governor, and the vet commission, they're both free running. Mm-hmm. One doesn't know what the other's doing. If they actually come together and go, okay, hey, what is it you guys want to accomplish here? Talking from the governor's side and the commission side, well, what do you need us to? What are you looking for us to do for you?
You know what I was just thinking as you said that?
Not really.
Well, let me tell you.
Oh my goodness!
Fourth of July. What's the VFW going to have on the 4th of July?
A big shindig.
Yeah.
Maybe the governor or lieutenant governor can come down in their command cars and say hello to the veterans that go to that particular function.
Maybe.
Just say hello.
Yeah.
You're outdoors, correct?
You are outdoors.
There you go.
And the invitation is extended to the general public.
It is.
Brian called me and told me that. Invite your families because the VFW's got the whole EPOW park.
Yep, we have the whole park. I actually haven't been to one of the planning meetings, but I know there's going to be a stage set up. There's going to be a DJ playing. There was talk of possible mm-hmm. A band or two playing.
Well, let me ask you this: what about parking? Because people will probably.
Well, last time I was down there, there was a parking lot.
Okay. I don't think they
built anything on top of it.
What about the hotel?
The what?
The hotel's closed.
Oh, it's closed.
Corona.
Huh.
I don't know.
Wait, why do you say that? They're going to blame you now. Tell them the hotel's closed.
They've been blaming me.
Which hotel? Where?
EPOW Beach, the one right next to it would be the Hilton.
The Hilton. The Hilton's open. Are you asking parking for at the hotel?
Yeah, could people that want to go there park at the Hilton?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
I feel like the parking at Hilton is already packed. Like you can't,
really?
You can barely find parking.
Okay. All right.
Wow, they got that many people staying at the Hilton.
A lot of military stay there.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that killed my idea.
Did it really?
They just shot it down. But you know, I had to put it out there.
But you know, Tom, at least you're thinking.
I don't know if that's what I would call it. You're giving me a lot of credit tonight. I don't know.
I was gone for a few weeks, and I can't be mean to you all the time. I have to be nice every once in a while.
Be mean to me. I'm used to it.
Oh, you don't like it when I get nice. It makes you nervous.
Then I don't trust you.
Right, Tom? It
makes you nervous, does it?
If he's too nice, then you're wondering what's going on.
Yeah, you know.
All right, well, guess what, guys? This is bringing us to the top of the hour.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to take a break for the CBS News. This is Vet Talk on News Talk K57. We'll be back right after the CBS News.
Senator!
Good evening. Welcome back to Vet Talk on News Talk K57. My name is Sean Watson. I'm a member of the VFW.
I'm Karina Balesta from Got Your 671.
Tom Devlin, a member of the military of Purple Heart on Guam.
And sitting in the booth, we have Johnny.
Member of the Military Order Purple Heart and the VFW.
Oh, yeah. And we have Jordan Tanker. How are you doing today? I didn't talk to you earlier today.
Pretty good.
I remember that from somewhere. Doing pretty good. Anyway, if you want to call in and be a part of our show, our phone number is 477-5757. You know, we were, Tom and I were talking during the break, and pretty good conversation there, Tom.
Thank you.
I won't be nice to you the rest of the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Because then he's going to think something's wrong.
No, if I start being nice to him, he's thinking, oh, he's cooking something up. He's going to get me somehow.
Excuse me, gentlemen and ladies. How long have we been doing this show? Don't we get a celebration or?
14 years. Yes.
14 years. 14.
Actually, wow. I'll tell you something. Sorrento Broadcasting. And those that actually hosted the show have actually gotten awards for doing the show.
Really?
Doing the Vet Talk?
Yes. When you would go to the Bank of Guam building, they would actually have displays of the awards and certificates that they've been given over the years. Yeah. Wow. Here, I don't see it anywhere here.
And this is why we always welcome the off-island throughout the country. People listening to our show, seeing us on TV. This is the first time I've seen you guys while I'm here, and it's really cool.
He likes that. I mean, he's a kid with a toy.
You're always on. You're always on, too.
Yeah. No, not now, and I'm loving it. Because I can look at you with disdain.
That's all right. We'll tell Bobby all the bad things you did today.
Oh, yeah. She's listening. Bobby,
oh,
listening,
she is.
Sure.
She's on there.
Yeah, I'm sure she's listening.
All right. Again, 4th of July is coming up. I want to wish everybody a very, very happy and safe 4th of July.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tom, do you have any plans? You guys want to stay home?
I generally stay home. The holidays don't mean much to me. Mm-hmm. You know. My daughter calls me, you know, high maintenance in Hawaii. She calls me, tells me what car she bought and so on and so forth, you know.
Yeah?
Well, she earned it. She put herself through college, so she earned it.
Hey, what about you, Johnny? What are you doing this weekend?
Are you guys talking about me?
Naturally.
No, okay. So, Karina, what are your plans for this weekend?
You're cold, Sean. You're cold.
What?
Well, this weekend is a special weekend because of the beach party at EPOW put on by the VFW. And they put out an exemplary. Brian calls me whenever he gets mad or anything, and I have to calm him down and say, Brian, you're doing fine. I'm looking for that cat to fly in with that parachute.
Kimono? Yeah.
He's going to do it 7:30 in the morning for practice, and he's going to do it again at 11:30. And just to do that for free, because he was the first sergeant in the Army. Mm-hmm. He was very, I think he flew with the Blue Knights or Brown. Special Forces.
Yeah.
So he's very proud to do it. But this, you know what? It didn't fall out of the sky. Well, it does, literally.
Well, Tim O'Neill's going to be dropping in. He will land on ground at 11:15 is what I'm told.
11:15, 12 o'clock. I'll wait 2 hours to watch this happen, you know? I was never meant to be a paratrooper. The plane's safe. You got no business jumping out of that bad boy, you know? But our boys do it for the honor and glory and the freedom of America and Guam as an occupation.
All right, we have a phone call.
Okay.
We have Marie on line one. How you doing? Welcome to Vet Talk.
Your first name?
Hello, you there?
B-O-O-N?
Hello. Did we turn her up on the line one? Jordan.
All right, services stand by, and the gentleman will turn.
Hey, line one is they turned up.
Hello.
Hey, there you are. How you doing?
Hi. Sorry, I don't know if you heard anything I said earlier. Sorry about that.
I didn't hear a thing you said.
Oh, okay. First of all, I want to thank you all for your service.
Thank you.
I'm an Air Force grad, proud daughter of a retired Air Force retiree. proud wife of an Army retiree, and thank you all for your service. But I wanted to just say a couple of things, and I hope you don't mind if you just give me a couple minutes. My husband has been going through the VA system of care since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to say that we've really, really, really experienced the best, the utmost best in everything, every avenue that we've had to go through.
That's good to hear.
We can't say anything bad about it. We just wish that more veterans would sign up and get the services they deserve, the medical care that they deserve.
Can you tell us what
and compensation? That's the first thing. Second thing, I've heard from two recent spouses that it appears that the VA caregiver program, it seems to be looking good for individuals living on Guam now. Initially, the Guam region wasn't considered as a covered area for the Caregiver Compensation Act to some extent. I don't know what the reasoning behind that, but two ladies I spoke to in the past week make things sound so promising now. So for those spouses of veterans who are 100%, or 70% or higher, according to my husband, please look into the program to see if you can, qualify under the caregiver compensation program. So I'm just encouraging the spouses to look into it.
Okay. Yes. First off, I want to say thank you for sending all that information in. And second, you're one of the rare people that call into the show and actually have something good to say about the VA and the health care that they're being given here. And three, I want to thank you for your service. You may not have served, but being a daughter and a wife to a service member, that takes a lot out of the family as well.
Mm-hmm. Can I add? I'm going to boast. I have a daughter who's serving.
And a mother of a service.
Who's a veteran, and brother-in-laws and son-in-laws who also are serving or have served. So we are entirely a military family. I have a brother-in-law who's a former Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine. And then nephews who are in the Marine Corps, and then son-in-laws in the Air Force and Army and as such. So we've got almost all the services covered. But thank you for your compliment. And again, the VA, we could have nothing but praise for the folks of the CBOC, the doctors there, telemed. We're back to seeing doctors in person. We've been to Tripler, and my husband's gotten nothing but great service in every aspect.
Oh, that's really, really great to hear. We like to hear the good stories as well as the bad stories. We don't like to hear the bad stories, actually. We just want to hear the good stories.
Marie,
thank you for having this program. We encourage a lot of folks to listen in and call in. I hope they start doing that. If they have questions, they should really pay attention to this program and call in.
Yeah, if you're not doing anything on Sunday, be sure to stop down by EPAL Beach. Get you some food. I know there's going to be ribs and burgers. There's all kinds of. I'm not going to name it because I'd forget something.
Okay, what time does that start again on Sunday?
The food will start at 11:30. Tim Ono is going to be parachuting in with the American flag. He's supposed to hit the ground at 11:15. But
we know Tim. We see him quite often at the exchange and as such, and he's a wonderful person.
He's really a good person. Actually, I'd like to get him back onto the show and talk about the memorial that they're working on down in Assen.
That would be great.
Thank you.
Thank you guys again.
Thank you. You guys stay safe.
Marie, thank you from the bottom of my heart.
All right, bye.
Thank you, Marie. You're the kind of callers we really enjoy.
All right. Line two, we have Boone.
Yes, sir.
How you doing? Welcome to Vet Talk.
Hey, good evening and buenas, Tom.
Yes.
Tom, and Mrs. Ballista.
Yes.
Hey, could you tell me or give me an insight on how these refugee thing work with Afghanistan? That they're sending here to Guam.
Are they actually sending them here to Guam?
The information that I can give you is only what I hear on TV. It hasn't been really finalized that they're actually going to send them anyplace.
Okay.
No one has really finalized that.
Anyway,
and that's what I hear on TV.
Operation New Life, 75, I believe, was Rody Point after the Vietnam War.
Right.
And then you had the Kurds. Stays over at Andy South.
Mm-hmm.
And, Guam has been opening their arms on these refugee situation here. And, I just don't understand, the United States are taking refugees, and either giving them political asylum or, giving them asylum, and they establish themselves in the states or colonies. So once they get established, you know, after 5 years and all that, while they apply for American citizen and whichever state they're on, they're allowed to vote for POTUS.
Right. Right. That is correct.
You follow where I'm going to?
I follow where you're going to. But
okay. Now, you know, us here, the territories, well, you know, second veterans per capita next to the state of Texas, you know, we've answered a call, you know, we were drafted, defended the red, white, and blue, and well, we can't even vote for our POTUS or our commander-in-chief.
Right.
I understand.
I'm not talking about just Guam itself. It's the United States territory, sir.
Right. You know, you have, Puerto Rico, America, Samoa.
Right.
Yeah.
If I may.
Sure, yeah, so, Johnny, what you got?
That, you know, I really don't get the, you know, where, wow, I become a refugee, you give me political asylum, and I establish myself, and, wow, I could vote for POTUS.
Yeah. Tagalog Marine. Boom.
The people of the United States territory.
Yes, it's on.
Can you hear? Boom.
You know, Hawaii is a
hey, state. Hey, hang on a second. Johnny has something he wants to say to you.
It is outside of CONUS. They couldn't vote.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold for a second because, you know, you just can't run free here. Johnny has something
Boone,
he wants to add to this.
Boone, I was here when the refugees were coming in by the hordes, by boats, by planes. I was working at GMH in the emergency room. And just a layman, I was there. And I watched the whole scenario from Arrowhead Point to Assen to Andy South. And they even made a couple of other, is that too loud? A couple other camps for these guys. It's a stepping stone.
Right.
And the United States is the one that preempts all this.
Yeah.
It's up to them.
And until they change something and get, I'm going to bring Boone back in.
Yeah.
Hey, sorry for putting you on hold, but we get a chance to talk too.
Okay.
Not a problem. Yeah. Until the law changes and people in the territories can vote, you're right. The refugees that are coming in, once they do their time and become a U.S. citizen, they're in the states. They can vote for the president.
And that's the negative to our legislature, our administration, is a priority of what should be happening. We should be focused on at least being allowed to vote, whether we're counted or not, at least allowed to vote for our supreme commander. And we all serve faithfully. But when a problem comes up between how to catch a dog and how to do this and that.
Dogs again.
Here we go. But it's so silly.
Okay.
I agree with Mr. Johnny over here. And throughout the many times that, every 4 years we had a presidential election, yeah, it's sponsored on the news, but where do we have the authority to vote for president? I mean, we can vote for governor, we vote for senator, we vote for congressman, and all that stuff. But where in the God's right mind do we have the authority or the right to vote for president? And knowing that Guam is U.S. territory, but where do we?
You know what? I'm gonna stop you right there. And Boone, I know you're still on the line with this too, but the thing is. I think this is where Boone's coming from, is there's a, and he even said it, second highest per capita serving in the United States military are people here from Guam. Okay? That should give us the right to vote for the president. We defend this country, but until they change up what Tom has in his hand right now, which is the United States Constitution.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing else we can do about that. Hey, Boone, your final thoughts. Boone, you still with us?
But you know, like the previous caller called in, and she related to how she's a military family.
Mm-hmm.
A mother, an auntie, and all this. It just goes, it signifies how military-oriented we are.
I'm going to give Boone his final word here. Boone, you with us? All right, what you got?
Okay, well, I agree with you all, but the thing is, you know, I'm not only talking about Guam itself, sir, but concerning the United States territories.
Yeah, I understand 100%.
And, you know, it's just that, you know, the way I feel right now is like we are treated as second-class citizens.
Nah.
You know, I hate to bring politics in, but, you know, who's that congresswoman from Georgia don't, you know, was labeled Guam as a foreign country? And, you know, like I said, it's just that, wow, you know. It's the same thing that I'm experiencing with the mail system. You know, I get my prescriptions from Honolulu.
Right.
When they change the damn, Postmaster General, the mail system in Guam, my prescriptions have been coming in late.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the post office, ever since COVID hit, the amount of packages coming into Guam mm-hmm. is astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting packages delivered on Sunday and sometimes twice a day.
Yeah.
So God bless the postal workers. I'll tell you that right now, cause they are they're working their heinies off. All right. I have another phone call, Boone.
Okay. Cool. Right, thank you very much for your time and, let's carry on.
All right,
thank you.
Have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
All right. Hey, Jordan, you don't tell me who's on line one. Okay. All right, line one, you're on the air with Vet Talk. Who we have?
Hey, how are you doing, guys? This is Tom. How are you doing?
Good, Tom. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Hey, I've been listening to you guys for as long as you guys have been in the air, and as long as I retired from the Air Force and came back to Guam.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't say much about what you guys are doing, keeping us retirees and veterans all informed of what's going on, especially with the budget and all that crap that you guys are not getting. And I wish I could do more, but unfortunately, you know, my hands are tied, but I can all support you guys in every way I can. But,
appreciate that.
All I can say, you guys keep up the good job, and nothing more I can say, man. You guys are one hell of a group. And,
Tom,
John, Tulay still there?
Yeah, he's
right
still
here. Partner.
He's doing a dance in the booth right now.
I don't know if you remember me. I used to see up there in Manila, and I used to be in Guam Waterworks.
Tommy, I remember you explicitly. You're a handsome young man.
But yeah, you guys keep the work up, man. Keep, you know, getting the word out of what is not going on and what's going on. As far as the voting is concerned, you know, I wish I could vote, but I guess we just have to hold our, what do you call it, anger or frustration in until
frustration Congress
or whatever, and change the law and make sure that we collect. But like I said, the highest capital per... You know, when I joined in 1969, I'm an only child. I didn't have to, but I did it out of pride because my father's a Whitman County defender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
I did it because I wanted to do it.
I want to say one more thing about the election for the President of the United States.
Okay.
Every election, the governor always comes out and says, and I'm not talking about the sitting governor, I'm talking about whoever is sitting as the governor, always goes, Guam supports so-and-so for the President of the United States. Guam is supporting this guy for the President of the United States. How do they know if we don't actually have a vote to say how the people want to, who the people think? Your thoughts on that there, Tom?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I served my time in the Air Force. I did it with pride. You know, I went through some tough times, but hey, doesn't matter. I did what I did because that's what I believed in, and I did it because my father was a Wake County defender,
mm-hmm.
and I was following what he had. And I have a son that served in the Navy. He retired. You know, I got a daughter now who's joining the Navy. So, you know, it's going on. And I can't help but say that, you know, we support the military whenever we can. And sometimes we feel at odds because there's some things that we can't get even after we serve for so long.
You couldn't nudge them to go into the Air Force?
Not really. Yeah, I mean, you know, I went in, I did it, and then my son went in. He asked me, "Hey, Dad, which branch should I go into?" I said, "You decide. I'm not going to tell you.
Oh.
Now, I want to tell you, go here, and then you come back and go, Dad.
Why'd you tell me to do that?
I'm sorry, you know." And my daughter the same way. She wanted to do it. I said, "Hey, you choose what you're going to do." I said, "You got to remember one thing. Your husband is in the Navy. He's a Navy corpsman. You decide what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Navy, you have a better chance of being stationed together and doing stuff together."
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
Yeah, so it would have been
hard. It's a whole different ballgame.
Well, Tom, we really do appreciate your phone call, and thank you for the very, very kind words.
Well, I can't help but give you the kind words, because that's what you guys have been doing.
Oh, thanks,
it.
Tom.
Thank you, Tommy.
You have a great 4th of July.
Drive, man. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. Stay safe.
Okay.
Bye. Yeah. Tom, you're sitting over there with the
quasi-Gwen
on your face.
Well, I've heard this 1,000 times.
Heard what?
Heard what?
About not being able to vote for the President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about France when I was in France working for the United Nations, that France has territories. But those individuals that live in those territories can vote for the president of France. Now, I don't agree with 2021, there should be no territories anymore. That's a colonial thing.
Right.
We should get rid of it. France should get rid of it. England got rid of it indirectly because they have Commonwealth individuals. And it's time that Congress and the President of the United States step up to the plate. We can't change the Constitution. Congress has got to change that Constitution. But even American Samoa.
Actually, they can make an
they can make an amendment.
They can make an amendment, but it has to be ratified by the two-thirds of the states.
Right. But even today, American Samoa, they're not United States citizens. They're U.S. nationals.
Right.
They can't even become U.S. citizens because
they don't have the choice.
No, they don't have the choice.
Because I know Palau. No, because they have the choice.
Years ago, their village elders, because the village system,
right,
voted that they didn't want to be. They didn't want their people to be U.S. citizens. They wanted to be U.S. nationals. Now they want to change that. They want to be U.S. citizens, and Congress is and the judges said no, based on what the law reads. So I think it's time that we have to get elected officials in Congress and the states to change these crazy territorial rules.
Here, let me have Johnny say something before he has a fit over there.
No, I'm not going to have a fit. I'm just saying it's not up. The political leaders of our island know it. And the thing of it is, they're not doing anything about it. Our delegate, our governor, our lieutenant governor, if you pop into my house every 5 minutes and scream about voting for the governor, I'm going to do something. But they're not doing it. And our senators, too, out there, the ones that came on our show and said, oh, we'll do this and do that. Yeah, what are you doing now? Nothing. Bye.
And with that, we are going to take a quick break so Johnny can cool down. This is Vet Talk on News Talk K57. We'll be back right after this short break. Good evening. Welcome back to Vet Talk on News Talk K57. My name is Sean Watson. I'm the member of the VFW.
And I'm Karina Balesta from Got Your 671.
And Tom Devlin, a member of the military of Purple Heart on Guam.
I thought we were going to go to some more music there for a second. I'm like,
no,
wow.
That's another song.
Johnny ran away.
Johnny ran away. Johnny doesn't know. Johnny doesn't know. I think that was a different. Anyway.
Secret.
Don't get me started, Jordan. Anyway, a little funny thing. He played a Billy Idol there for that break. When I was TDY down to South America, that was some of the big songs at the time in the rock era or rock genre. It brought a whole lot of memories back just hearing that. Okay.
Jordan's saving something for you.
I heard him. All right, if you want to be calling and be a part of our show, our phone number is 477-5757. So anyway, this past Friday, the Guam Veterans Commission met, and our good friend here, Tom, was there for that. Is there something you want to tell us about what happened there?
Well, it was well attended. Also, the congressman's representative was there.
Good.
And they got a couple of grants. The veterans organizations can send 8 or 10 individuals, if they choose to do so, to get certified to be national service officers. That's up to, you know, the organizations themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And also Team Corps that Marlene has, they received a grant to help veterans. So the person in charge was there and trying to explain it, you know, what was going on. And Jose said, well, hold off. Let's have a meeting so we can discuss in dialogue. We don't want to duplicate 2 grants, 3 grants of what we're doing, what one agency is doing, and you're doing the same thing. So they're going to have like an informational meeting, which is fine. This way everybody's on the same page. And they'll probably tell the commission members the following meeting as to what they discussed and, you know, what's going on.
Yeah. You know, when I heard about that, you know me, a lot of questions pop into my mind when I hear stuff.
Imagine. Please, Lord.
Well, my first question is, when was the last time our service officers down at the Guam's Veterans Affairs Office went off island for training?
I can't recall.
Right before COVID.
Okay.
It was right before COVID. There is online training for service officers,
mm-hmm.
And they stood that up simply because of the COVID situation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Have our service officers down there completed those courses?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I know they completed some things because they're certified.
Yeah, but they're certain that they have to have recurring training, mm-hmm. and that's a yearly thing required by the VA to stay certified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the grant they have, are they included where they could go to that training?
That'll probably be digested between the local Veterans Affairs Office and the Veterans Commission representatives.
Because right now, the Guam Veterans Affairs Office has 4 service officers down there.
Right.
Correct.
But they just received the letter as we were sitting there,
mm-hmm.
that the grant was approved.
Right. Like I said, these are just questions that pop into my head.
And mm-hmm. probably have to sit there, mm-hmm. figure out what the grant specifically
What it actually says. Yeah. Because if those 4 service officers are included,
mm-hmm.
well, now you can only have four to six service or people from veterans groups to get the certification training.
Well, my thinking on that is how many in the veterans group, you know, one veterans mm-hmm. group picks one, will actually want to do that?
I do.
It's quite involved. That's gone through that training.
Mm-hmm. It is.
You have to be part lawyer and part doctor, and you have to be a social worker at the same time. And the stress is quite heavy. And
I'm sure.
And they told me the burnout rate's about 5 years. They burn out.
As the burnout rate for
Service officers, national service officers. They burn out rather fast.
Yeah.
It's just because it's just a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, and you're sort of battling the VA, you're battling indirectly what the veteran says. There's a lot of stress involved in it.
Yeah, but I'm just glad. I mean, if anything came out of that, you know, getting the grant, I'm glad that, you know, there's a step forward.
Right, yeah.
Because there are not enough VSOs to help all the veterans.
Right. Right. And our department service officer for the VFW of the Pacific, I've talked to those guys. I talk to those guys all the time. The one that was two people ago that was a service officer, he did it for a couple years, took a year off, came back for 1.5 years, and you're right, they burn out.
And it's not for everybody. And you don't learn that until you actually finish the course. That's just the way it is.
The biggest problem that he had was he'd be sitting in the VFW eating lunch. His office was actually in the same building, but he'd be actually out in the restaurant eating lunch, and people would come up, and just as he's taking a bite of his burger or spaghetti, whatever he's eating, "Hey, you heard anything on my claim? I need your help." It's like, man, can a guy eat?
Can I get a break?
Yeah, and that's just 24/7. I see you, Johnny. What you got?
You know, Alan Turner.
Yeah, I know him.
He's doing a remarkable job with the VFW.
Yeah, he is the post
like
and
doctors,
district service officer.
Civil service workers, people working for public works, they do 30 years and they get burned out. Now, if you're not being inundated, then, you know, overloaded, then you won't be thought of as a bad worker. So you work at your own speed, and if you're smart enough, you'll let people know.
Well, and that's the thing, because Alan, he actually doesn't have an office hours. So in order to see him, you have to call him or email him and get an appointment. So he doesn't have that same dynamic of the guy I'm talking about, who has office hours, and he would step right outside his office door in the same building, try to eat lunch, and people would bombard him with questions. Yeah, and that's what really burns you out quicker than anything else. I mean, one, you have to have the desire to help people. That's number one, you have to have that. Yeah. So, Tom, I saw that look in your eye.
What did I do?
I don't know.
I didn't do anything wrong.
So did you get a copy of the letter?
No.
I have a copy.
I just recall when I was a service officer, I had one of those hand grenades. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
knickknack office.
It was deactivated. It was a real hand grenade at one time.
Okay,
they drill a hole to the bottom, and so sometimes the veterans would come in and they'd be screaming, hollering. Because my office was down at the local Veterans Affairs office, mm-hmm. on the second floor. So what I would do, my hand grenade was behind me. John knows it. So I turn around, they couldn't see it. I turn around and I would just grab it like this and put it in front of them. You think you got problems? And usually, their eyeballs were twitching, uh-huh. and it sort of calmed them down a bit. Like, you know, they were looking to see, well, that looks real, but it's not real, but it looks real.
Oh, it's real.
At one time.
It's just not live.
Not live. It was deactivated.
Can I read some of the stuff in the letter from the council?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So it's from Lieutenant Governor's office. So it's his honor to announce that Department of Interior awarded $3.3 million for funding for 17 different projects for the government agencies on Guam. And so it's to fund 10 VA accredited representatives for our island. It also includes funding for office equipment to allow for each VA accredited representative the ability to assist veterans efficiently, which is amazing. So currently, it said our island has 5 registered VA accredited representatives serving an estimated 10,000 veterans. However, that an additional 12,000 or more veterans are not registered with the Guam Office of Veterans Affairs. And they said this is key to providing veterans with assistance, services, benefits, and health care through the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. Mm-hmm. And there's two other
paragraphs. What a necessity it is for the island. Mm-hmm. We got how many boys coming back from the... we got some coming back still from Afghanistan.
Hopefully all of them.
The Desert Storm and stuff. We got 200 or 300 stuck in Hawaii trying to get assessed. So it's a necessity, and it's great. I love it.
Well, you know, that's a perfect segue, because I have a report here from the Office of the Inspector General. Improvements needed in adding non-VA medical records to veterans' electronic health records. Tom loves this portion of the show.
Why?
He just does.
Did you hand this out? That's probably why he loves it.
Anyway, the OIG found that Veteran Health Administration medical facilities that opted for community care staff to conduct indexing of medical records did not sufficiently comply with the requirements. The finding supports by the terminations discussed more fully below that community care staff did not always accurately enter non-VA records. VA facilities lack standard operating procedures, which definitely, you know, they didn't define the processes or the staff's responsibilities. Now, if you're seeing a veteran and you have their medical record on there, it doesn't take a rocket science to say, I did this with this veteran and this is what I prescribed. And that, anyway, let me get back on the train here. Training, quality checks, and quality assurance monitoring were inadequate for community care staff performing scanning and lacked the adequate procedures, training, quality checks, and monitoring adversely affected by Veteran Health Administration operations. There's so many things I can say about that.
Please don't.
There's so many things. Anyway, where was this one out of? Northern District of Ohio, right? This one's funny, actually. A defendant was sent text messages to a government-issued cell phone. One, you sent a text message. Two, it was to a government cell phone, right? This guy's a rocket scientist. Sent text messages to a government-issued cell phone to a Department of Veterans Affairs social worker threatening to kill his daughters.
Oh, no.
All right. The reason this guy sent these messages was he was on the HUD VA program from March of 2014, and he was removed January of 2021 for numerous complaints of physical threats and public intoxication. So evidently he got really upset. I changed that word for you, Tom. He got really upset because he got kicked out of his house that was the VA was providing him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, VA plans expansion of benefits for disability claims for conditions related to certain toxic exposures. All right, favorite topic here on Guam, Agent Orange. Mm-hmm. They've added three presumptive
conditions.
Those conditions are bladder cancer, hyperthyroidism, and Parkinson's disease. That's another ism. Former CEO sentenced for defrauding multiple federal agencies. All right. This is out of Arlington, Virginia. Arlington businessman was sentenced to 21 months in prison with 3 years of supervised release for making false statements to multiple federal agencies in order to fraudulently obtain multi-million dollar government contracts, COVID-19 emergency relief loans, and undeserved military service benefits. How many times we got to say it, Tom? John? How many times we got to say this? If you defraud the government, they're eventually going to find you. You can't run. The VA is the largest government organization that the U.S. has.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's easy to do it, but yeah. You know, it's also really easy to get caught.
You know, that's why they'll spend, the government will spend a dollar to chase you down for a dime. Mm-hmm. And they'll get their dime.
Anyway. it was this one. Bronx man indicted for offering bribes to public officials. Okay. Bronx. That's like your neighborhood, isn't it, there, Tom?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I thought so.
Nice people there.
Yeah, they're great people, yeah. Offered unsolicited bribes to a contracting officer with the VA in Syracuse to share profits with the VA contracting officer in exchange for awarding VA contracts to him for personal protective equipment. How many of these have we gone through?
I know.
An assistant in getting payments on the contracts. Of course, the person that he was trying to bribe turned him into the law enforcement. So, you know,
there's some honest people out there.
There are. I mean, good for this individual that turned him in. The charges filed carry a maximum sentence of 15 years in prison and up to $250,000 fine. The supervised release up to 3 years. I always find that funny. Karina, you have any VA news for us?
VA news. Let me see.
No? Okay.
Yes. Johnny Chiller's like, yeah, you do. The telehealth, I think I had the opportunity to do that, but my question is, so if you do telehealth, can you go back? When you make the change, can you still be able to switch back?
I don't get what you're saying.
I do. I do. What she's saying is something we talked about earlier in the show, that VA was going out to veterans that are using the VA health system and going, hey, do you want to continue to use telehealth or do you want to go strictly back to seeing a doctor?
I'm perfectly satisfied with whatever I get, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are.
Telehealth is good.
I think
works for me.
I think to answer your question, Karina, mm-hmm. if you choose that you just want to do the telehealth, mm-hmm. and then you decide that you don't like that or you want to see a doctor every once in a while, they will accommodate those changes for you. Just you need to talk with your healthcare provider.
Just like how I fired my CBOC doctor because he told me that my condition didn't exist. I filled out a piece of paper and I fired him and got a new doctor. I was like, it does exist. It's here.
I have a question for that, but I'll wait till we're off the air.
Okay. I do want to talk about the Silkies March one more time for those that hopped on. Just like highlight it real quick since it's happening.
Quick.
Okay. So if you just hopped on Silkies March, I'm Karina Blessa from GY671. You can look us up on Facebook and Instagram, GY671. On Liberation Day, we're having a Silkies March. If you're watching online, here's what Silkies look like. And then guys and girls get dressed up in... these short shorts and boots, and we're gonna march. We're gonna stop 7 stops. We're gonna end up a sale with some food trucks, games, giveaways. So look us up. We have an Eventbrite link, and I think we posted on the Facebook page if you're watching. And yeah.
All right, give me the quick W's for that.
Where we'll be at Paseo when July 21st, starting at 07:30. What's the other one? Oh, and what? So we're not having Liberation Day, but we are working with the National Organization Irreverent Warriors plus Freedom Grinders to coordinate this event.
Okay.
Thank you. Right. Oh, wait, and sorry, one more time. Calling out all services, no matter what age you are, come and join us on Liberation Day. Okay, I'm done.
I'm scared to say anything right now.
I'm done.
Are those Silkies, are they government issue or do we have to pay for them?
I mean, if you have some.
Yeah, I don't have anything that short. Tom, back to you. You were getting ready to say something before Karina bogarted the microphone.
I just want to let everybody know that I received the hearing aids. I'm getting a fitting next week. It took about a month. John, have you received your hearing aid yet?
I've had mine for 3 years by Claire Calvo. They work beautiful.
They work beautiful? Okay. Mm. Yeah, so it took about a month.
Okay. So who's telling you that they work beautiful there, Johnny? Who's wearing those for you?
My dog, Silky. she talks to me.
Did you just change your dog's name like the last 2 weeks because of the Silky March?
Because of the Silky's March.
What's up, Johnny? Come on now.
Hey, I'm having fun in this booth. Trust me, man.
He's going to take over. His name's going to be Jordan soon.
You know what? We're on the air. I can't say what I'm thinking. So anyway, I thought you two were getting a little close buddy-buddy over there. Hey, remember, separation, 6 feet. 6 feet. Okay.
Don't be jealous because you can't take a break when you want one.
I can take a break anytime I want one. Watch that. We're going to take a quick... No, I'm just joking. Hey, Tom.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah. You're just sitting over just happy
I'm just
to be
sitting
here.
And listening to this, and you know, I'm going to get my new hearing aids in about a week. That doesn't mean I'll be able to hear anything, because how can you wear hearing aids with a face mask and a glasses? You know, it's...
Don't they have hearing aids that actually connect to the ear back piece of the your glasses on the ear?
Probably cost extra.
Oh yeah, we're
you
veterans.
Got, you
guys, we don't
you
get
standard
that.
Standard issue.
We don't
standard,
get that.
Standard issue.
Yeah, I mean, you know, come on, you know.
He didn't get the pro version.
Yeah, I mean, the average John. Am I right? The average hearing is about what $4,000, something like that.
$4,000.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Astronomically
a pair.
Expensive. Yeah.
Don't lose them. Mm-hmm.
And these, the ones that I'm getting are chargeable. You can recharge them.
Right.
You have to put batteries in them.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Kind of like AirPods.
Yeah, if you say so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, AirPods are rechargeable.
Go ahead, Sean, laugh, but you're coming around the corner.
Oh, no.
I got a couple more years for that. No, one thing you have to realize, Karina, is Tom doesn't know how to operate a kiosk.
Oh.
So, yeah, when I said
it's
AirPods...
It's a very sensitive story.
tell me one day. Tell me.
Why? We have time.
Oh, okay. So what's the story?
No, well, but anyway, the thing is, when I say AirPods, yeah. He doesn't even know what AirPods are.
Oh, okay. That's why
I said AirPods.
Okay.
See, I was nice to him earlier, and he told me not to be.
I'll bring some for you.
That's
next
okay.
Show.
I don't want to know about right. it.
So
you have one or not?
Oh, Jordan has some.
So anyway, Tom's kiosk story.
Mm-hmm.
This all started when the CBOC for the VA got kiosks, and you had to sign into them.
Yes.
Tom walked in, saw him, and went, "That's new."
And you just sat down? You just sat down?
No, he just stood there and looked at it. Yeah.
Oh,
then the guard came over and went, "You need some help? Yeah, you sign in right here." Yeah. How?
How did you sign in?
I didn't.
The guard actually.
He did it for you?
The guard was doing it for everybody.
Oh, nice.
The older veterans are having the same problem. Younger veterans, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
The older veterans, you just look at their faces. And they're looking at the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That's okay. New.
But you know what's new, though? You know what's cool about the kiosk is if you have your veterans health
even
identification.
Even when you
card?
Have it. Oh. Is a problem.
Really? Because all you have to do is scan the barcode and it works.
You have to know that.
Oh. Sorry.
Karina, you got so much to catch
that,
up on.
You're going to still stand there and look at it and go, do you have your VA card? Oh, yeah, I think so. Somewhere.
But, you know, the...
But then you can't put it upside down because then it screws everything up.
Right.
Say again?
I got you right here, Tom.
Okay.
You can try it out. It's pleasant black.
Oh, wow. Anyway, yes. The thing is, you know, some of the restaurants are starting to go to the kiosk system, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah, electronic menus.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's still a kiosk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
That? I won't go there.
I
won't get my business.
See, you cut me off too soon.
Sorry.
I was building up to it.
I'm sorry.
I
knew exactly where you were going.
Do they have it at Denny's?
I knew exactly where you were going.
I haven't been to King's in a
while.
No,
it's not at King's. Not at King's.
I'm talking more of the fast food.
McDonald's? Burger King?
I haven't been inside Burger King.
Well, you know what? You don't need a menu if you know what you want.
Yeah, that's right. So I know what I want.
Yeah.
Give me a number 7 combo.
There you go.
I can see Tom right now walking up to a kiosk. I want a number 7 combo. I want a number 7
combo. He's talking to the kiosk. If you guys can't see it, Sean was over here trying to talk to the air, which is, you know, his kiosk.
Number 7 combo, please. Yeah. You ever seen that? Never mind. I digress. All right. Once again, we have 4th of July weekend coming up. That's going to be on Sunday. VFW, both 1509, 2917 has teamed up to put on a nice little barbecue down at EPAL Park. We have the whole park reserved, all the pavilions. There's going to be plenty of food. You can start coming in, I think, at 9:15. 11:15, Tim Onos will be parachuting in with the American flag. Then it'd be followed by the national anthem, Guam hymn, a blessing of the food, and food will be started served at 11:30. So if you don't have anything else going on, or if you do, you got some free time, come on down to EPAL Park. Tom, what you got?
Governor, come on down. Say hello to the people.
Johnny, what you got?
Nothing.
Nothing. All right, Karina, I'm going to let you have the final word.
One more time. If you're new, if you just hopped on, because we took a few breaks, I'm Karina Balesta from GY671, and if you want to continue conversations and talking, we have our Wednesday night Battle Buddy Talks on GY671 Facebook page. Just look us up. Got Your 671 on Facebook and Instagram. And it's not recorded, no judgment. If you're a veteran and you have issues you want to talk about, hop on and come talk to us. You can just come and listen and watch, and you don't have to show your face. It's on Zoom. You have to download the app Zoom if you have an iPhone or whatever phone you use. I'm an iPhone user. But anyways, come and join us 8 o'clock every Wednesday night. We talk about veterans issues. Thank you.
All right. And once again, I'd like to wish everybody out there a very, very happy and safe 4th of July. My name is Sean Watson for Johnny Atulai.
Right here, Doc.
Tom Devlin and Karina Blessel.
Balesta.
Balesta. I'm sorry. I'll get it right one of these days. This has been Vet Talk on News Talk K57. We will talk to you again next week. Enjoy, guys.
Thank you.